We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Rob Doster here. I got Jeff Goodman with me.
Hell no.
John Tate.
Are we still live?
Till the 68 till I die.
I'm sorry, man. I blacked out.
Randolph Children.
DJ Khaled. You know the big DJ Khaled guy?
Hands broke up and in.
Goodman needs to be fired all the time.
Josh Pastner.
You're going to beat people straight up.
You know the deal.
They have no swag. They have no nothing.
Terrell McNeil.
From the bluest of the blue bloods to the smallest of the mid-majors.
This is Field of 68. After dusk.
Welcome to the Sunday evening edition of the Field of 68 After Dark. We are live from Mandalay Bay here in Las Vegas, Nevada, and we just saw what was the wildest game of the Sweet 16. Texas A&M came back from 12 points down with a minute and 52 left on the clock to force overtime. Houston had four players foul out, including their three best guards. A walk-on went to the free throw line in a game with 17 seconds left. Houston up by three. And the Sweet 16 on the line. He played 173 minutes in his career. He knocked down a free throw. The Cougars were able to hold on and win.
Key to the city.
NIL deal coming soon. Yes.
You think Doster would have knocked down that free throw? He goes to the line for two shots.
I would have made one or two.
I think you would have bricked both.
I
know you would have bricked both.
Well,
this ain't Papa shot.
Yeah. Anything's possible. Jacoby Walter missed two. Tie the game. 80%.
Yep. I would have made one or two, but the Sweet 16 now is more or less set. San Diego State is up by 25 on Yale with 10 minutes left in the second half, and barring a Texas A&M-esque comeback, we have our Sweet 16 is good to go. Before we talk about what the actual matchups are, though, T.O., how ridiculous was that game that we just watched? It was the first actual buzzer beater of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that was it was crazy to see. I'm always a big fan of the screener play where you have a two bouncer to the top of the key that ends up in a three-point attempt that goes in. That is college basketball at its finest. Just how Buzz drew it up. Nope. Hey, big-time shot at the end. We knew this was going to be a physical game coming into it, and it certainly lived up to that billing. Both teams really battled. Houston fouled out almost their whole team, and I thought it wasn't just going to be Elvin. It was going to be a water boy or two who was going to have to get some minutes.
Yeah, physical, tough battle. We knew that was going to be the case. Credit A&M for fighting back, and Houston for staying in it with foul trouble essentially from the start of the game. And I'm just – today has been a hell of a day.
It's a great day.
Great day. This week has been a hell of a week. Everything's blended together. I don't even know what day it is. What day is it? Sunday?
It's today Sunday. It's time to go home after this, Henson. It's time to go home. We've got a Sweet 16, and we got Houston Duke. But to me, all that said was this is the toughest team in America. There are more talented teams. We know that.
Yep.
But, like, you'll put them against anybody. They're going to fight you. I mean, again, like you said, this kid Elvin comes in 173 minutes the whole year. He's a walk-on. Juwan Roberts is not healthy. He's out there. He maybe shouldn't even be out there. Like, what Kelvin Sampson has done with this program, with his team, getting them to the Sweet 16 right now, I just hope they get healthy enough that they can have a chance here to compete for a national title. Because, again, they're one of my favorite teams to watch because of the culture and how friggin' hard they play.
Yes.
How about the fact there were 75 free throws taken? Are we surprised?
How long was it? 3 hours?
It was long enough to piss off Trevor.
All right, so the Sweet 16 is officially set. Here are the matchups that we had. UConn and San Diego State in the East on one half of the bracket, and Illinois, Iowa State on the other half of the bracket. Down in the West, we have North Carolina taking on Alabama, who was able to hold off Grand Canyon today, and Arizona will be taking on Clemson. We have Purdue and Gonzaga, which to me looks like the most intriguing matchup that we're going to get in the Sweet 16. And on the other side of that region is Creighton and Tennessee. And then out in the South, we have Houston taking on Duke and NC State taking on Marquette. Here's my biggest takeaway from this, guys. Cinderella is dead. Okay?
Yeah. Get her out of here.
Cinderella has died.
Send her ass home. Cinderella right now. They're Cinderella.
You cannot be a Cinderella if you're the ACC champion. I'm not allowing you. You cannot be a Cinderella if you're the ACC champion. Every number one and number two seed has made it to the Sweet 16 for the first time since
2009. Plus, have you seen Keith's shoes on the sideline?
Whose? Keith's?
Keith's shoes.
Oh, I'm sure they were awesome.
Those aren't slippers.
That Range Rover isn't a carriage either.
Those are I'm pretty sure those are Louis Boutons.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So all the number one and number two seeds made it to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2019. We have two number three seeds. We have two number four seeds. We have two number five seeds. We have a six, and we have NC State. It's as chalk of an NCAA tournament as we've seen since 2019, when all of the top three seeds made it. 1-5 seed made it, and 1-12 seed Oregon made it to the Sweet 16. So here's what I want to hit you guys with. Parity has been the talk of the sport nonstop for the last 2, 3, 4 years. NIL, transfer portal, immediately eligible guys. It makes it so that little guy can compete with the big guy more. Well, John Henson, apparently that might not actually be true.
Yeah, you got your big dogs and your heavy hitters in the Sweet 16, and it's going to be some really, really good games. I think the Duke-Houston game is going to be so good. I think Duke's in trouble, but it's kind of like
– We thought Duke was in trouble today, though.
Yeah.
We did. We thought Duke was in trouble.
If Duke would have been in that game tonight with Houston, the way they were – I mean, God bless. There
would have been some broken arms.
Yeah, it's what it would have been. So, it's going to be fun. I'm glad all the good teams, all the big-time teams made it. That's going to be good for the game. I'm excited to watch some of these matchups that we've been dreaming about. And no matter what happens, there's still going to be dream matchups in the regional finals as well. So it's going to be a fun weekend.
That's the beauty, right? Like, what do we want? If you could script it one way, you'd say, like, get a half a dozen good upsets in the first round and then have the big boys advance. And that's what happened. Like, I'm surprised. I got to say that. I am surprised because I felt like it would be like last year. I felt like we'd have two teams. Certainly at this point, you'd have two teams like FAU and San Diego State from a year ago. We don't even have that in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
We had that last year all the way to the Final Four. I am surprised with the COVID year, with the transfer portal, with all those things that we don't have some of those mid-majors per se advancing. You know, team in the Mountain West, obviously San Diego State's still there right now, but they're not what they were even last year. Like, they have more credibility coming in.
They also play UConn next.
Right.
Is like
going to be tough.
And,
yeah.
And I think the noise that we've saw with underdog noise, I think it's been louder than I've ever seen in the game, where teams know what they're up against. They know what the public is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that, you know, Mark Sears' uncle isn't like, hey, look, man, they think y'all going to lose today. I was watching ESPN. Like, that happens, right? So
yep.
I think that also has to do with the underdogs not advancing as far as we thought, because now these teams are coming in like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I've been hearing all week, all day, or the last couple of days, that we're going to lose. And, you know, when certain teams win, you talk to them and say, hey, look, we heard the noise, and we played better. So I think that happened this year a lot more than it has been.
Yeah, I'm not all that surprised by it, because one of the things that we had said all season long is, like, there's a cutoff, right? We said it on one – I think it was on the Selection Sunday show. Maybe it was us on the DTF podcast, Theo. But we said that there's a pretty clear cutoff past the four seeds, right? Like, I couldn't see many teams past the four seeds capable of getting to a Final Four, and not really anything saying, like, I think they can have a real shot of actually winning a national title. So I'm not that surprised.
But Sweet 16, we're not that far in. That's,
well, it's just because you see the cutoff of teams, and it just – Sometimes it feels like it is what it is. And it feels like
– Don't we say that every year, though? I feel like we say that every year, like 10, 12 teams, right? Don't we say it every year, 10 or 12 teams?
There's a handful of teams that can win it, but there's a big drop between the top 15 and 16 and everybody else in the field. Go look at the five seeds. Outside of Gonzaga, who did you think before the tournament started like that could actually win it? There's a reason why everybody picked like all of the 12 seeds to win. That was the most true.
BetMGM had Utah covering.
Utah State
covering, and then one more that was the most heavily bet. They all did. Oh, Marquette covering, and none of those.
McNeese State, right? Everybody thought they'd win.
Yeah.
One quick point about. We see all the big dogs in the Sweet 16 this year. Now, no real surprises. I think there was a time where NIL was going to be, like, it could be a differentiator if you were ahead of the curve. Yeah. Now, I think the big dogs are going to have the most money. It's just going to be a lot of the same thing.
But don't you think
now that it evens out a little
bit. There's still, like, more distractions, all those things with these teams that have NIL, or does that not matter when you get to the NCAA tournament at all? At this point, no. I just think it could have caused, like, more chemistry.
If Benson was talking about
the chemistry maybe at Alabama, like those things might have played in during the year. I don't know. I didn't expect this.
I think depending on, you know, with the high-level teams, you got to think, like, the starting five, it's kind of like the NBA. You know, you got your max guy, and, you know, you got your guys that are making their
money.
That's
what people need to realize.
Yeah, but there are so many mid-major transfer up guys now at the high-major level.
There's a lot of guys.
You know what I mean? Like Aaron Estrada goes, he's playing big minutes in Alabama. You don't know how that's going to translate. Again, listen, it is what it is. I think it's good for the tournament.
But the guys playing in Real Madrid, they come to the NBA, they're not going to get max money.
Right.
Like, it's the same thing. It's just not going to happen. Like, to me, like, this is starting to even out a little bit.
The gap still is closed. Is
I think it's
tight
started.
As it's been in ever, forever. And again, next year when the COVID, in 2 years, right? 2 years, not next year. When the COVID year goes away, then I think the gap will start to expand again to what it was. But I guess that's why it's my biggest surprise.
All right. Listen, Jeff's going to take a phone call, which is something that happens when we're in coaching change season.
Yeah.
Let's start with this. I want to go to the Midwest region first. Purdue absolutely dog walked Utah State today.
Yeah, they did.
And here's the crazy part. I thought Utah State had a terrific game plan. I thought they did really well for the first 15 minutes, executing in a way to slow down Zach Edey, what you have to do with that lineup. Then Purdue went on a little bit of a run, and Utah State had their spirits broken, and they got 40-pieced. So now we get Purdue-Gonzaga on one side. We get Creighton-Tennessee on the other side. I feel like Detroit is the spot you want to be next weekend.
I kid you not. Today, I was watching the game in the room. It was like 24, 20-something, 28, something like that. I fall asleep.
Yeah.
I wake up, Purdue's up 40.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. It's this exact same thing happened to Mason.
I was like, what happened?
Purdue's got 90 points.
Yeah, I would at least thought it was being
where have
closer.
I been?
I saw the highlights. I saw the numbers. I mean, at the beginning of the game, Utah State looked pretty good. But it seems like they ran out of bodies. Zach Edey was getting deep post position, which is you definitely can't do with him on that. And, you know.
You can't do anything.
They look good.
Yeah.
They look good, man.
And Purdue Utah State got overzealous trying to strip the ball from Zach Edey. Can't do it. You're going to foul him. You might as well just square him up and hope.
Yep.
That's what you're doing against him when you have that big a size discrepancy.
All right. So let me ask you this.
He was beating up Utah State like I saw Rip Hamilton beat up a couple of teams in the NBA.
So, Purdue, Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga actually has – if there's a team that kind of has the size to be able to deal with Purdue's big guys, or with Zach Edey, you got Braden Huff, you got Ben Gregg, you got Anton Watson, you got Graham Ike. Like, half of their rotation is quite literally centers. Do they have a chance?
They do. They have the bodies to throw at them. I just wonder if they're going to have enough size to – you saw today when he gets deep position, and we haven't seen that in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And if Gonzaga doesn't push him out and make him take a tough twos, it's going to be a long day for them. I've actually been down on Purdue. They look good today. I think they beat Gonzaga, though.
Yeah. I think their biggest problem is going to come in the Elite Eight, whoever wins between Creighton and Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's where it's going to get interesting. I think that's where Purdue's going to have their biggest challenge up to this point. Obviously up to this point. But Gonzaga, just As much as I loved him.
Yeah. Can I say no shot?
You can use that.
No shot for this ex.
Why? Why?
I just think Purdue's on a mission.
Yes.
Like, they're on a mission. Those guys are playing. Like,
they scored 106 points.
Zach Edey is going to eat them up. And they don't have – yeah, they've got some front court bodies. They do. But I think even the perimeter of Purdue – and you saw Trey Kaufman Wren look good today. Like, they've just got a lot of dudes right now. And I think Painter's kind of figured out the rotation, the matchups. And I think you could see more Trey Kaufman Wren again. Edey and Trey Kaufman Wren. Like, that's going to be dominant against Gonzaga's front line. And I think the guards are much better and deeper. You've got a lot more guards, a lot more perimeter guys that you can rotate in.
Hey, man, Cam Heidi. Braden Smith.
Freaking Cam Heidi.
God.
He literally, Cam Heidi would start for like 350 teams. He barely plays for Purdue. Like, I think they're on a mission. Again, I think they get to the Final Four. I don't know if they win the whole thing, but, man, they just, you know, you saw it with Virginia the year after. You saw how connected they were.
Yeah.
I think this team has.
The Virginia run, the difference with the Virginia run is that was quite literally a miracle. Right. What people don't remember about that run is they were down 12 with like 6 minutes left against Oregon in the Sweet 16. They were down 14 to Gardner Webb in the first round. They needed Kyle Guy to get, I'm doing air quotes, Auburn fans, fouled and hit all three free throws with a second left to be able to get to the national title game.
It's been a rough
series. They needed DeAndre Hunter to hit a three with 11 seconds left to get the national title game to overtime. That was a miracle run. Purdue was just blasting people, and I think that they blast Gonzaga, and I think that they are going to have a fight on their hands against either Tennessee or Creighton. That's going to be – I'll tell you this. Purdue-Creighton would be the best Elite Eight game that we're going to get.
If Creighton gets to that point – Kalkbrenner may not be able to stop Edey, but he can contain him. And if you don't put the defense at a disadvantage with Purdue, what's your offense, right? Like, are we living with Zach Edey contested twos? You're going to lose. So I wonder how that's going to work out. And if Kalkbrenner gets a foul trouble, Creighton's also in trouble. So I wonder how they're going to play that.
All right. I was so impressed with Purdue's defense today. Yeah. Like, it's been that way all year. I mean, this is nothing new, but I'm sitting there watching some of these guys get over top of screens. They switched the 4-5. Utah State tried to get the matchup they wanted with Zach Edey out on the perimeter. He moves to his feet. I think he only had one play where they got past him and he fouled. But other than that, like, he stayed in pretty good position. Purdue is on a mission, like Jeff said. And defensively, that's kind of where I was shocked a little bit today.
Yep. Yep. All right, listen, when we come back, we're going to break down the South region because it is set. Houston, Duke, Marquette, NC State, we got three games from that region we got to talk about, including the Blue Devils, who every one of my parlays today had James Madison in some form or another. James Madison lost by 40. I got to eat that one. That's next.
The best month of the year is here, which is why you need to know that we are now partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 all through the NCAA tournament. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD, and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not that bet hits. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $10 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game, and you get up to $1,500 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD when you sign up. Most importantly, we do have some fun stuff coming for the conference tournaments and especially for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops, odds boosts, and what I love the most, a nice parlay boost for anything you could possibly imagine betting on in the NCAA tournament, from odds and getting an at-large bid to Final Four futures to the highest seed to make to the Sweet 16. I'm calling it right now. BetMGM is the king of the prop bet for your March Madness needs. So go download the BetMGM app, use the code FIELD, and sign up today. And while I've got you, a quick request, the best way to support the Field of 68 and our content you get for free is to engage with us. Rate and review the pod, like and share the YouTube videos, tell your friends about us. It helps in a world where the algorithm is king. And now, back to the show.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady.
a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to the Sunday evening edition of the Field of 68 After Dark. Jeff Goodman, John Henson, Terrence Oglesby. My name is Rob Doster. We're on Sirius XM Channel 84. We're streaming over on Stadium. Jump in the YouTube chat. Fire away. Ask us questions. Gentlemen, the South region, two best games of the day. Houston, Texas A&M in overtime. The first real buzzer beater we've gotten this entire tournament. Colorado, Marquette was incredible basketball, yep. Right? So much fun to watch. Two teams that wanted to space it out. Two point guards that were in their element. And then we had James Madison getting 40-piece by Duke.
40-piece.
That's where I want to start with this one, because I think all of us kind of agreed, after watching what James Madison did to Wisconsin, that that was going to be tough for Duke to deal with the size, the physicality, the athleticism, the toughness of the Dukes. And it wasn't, T.O. No. It wasn't at all. Duke just rolled them. Jared McCain had 30. He's two games into the NCAA tournament, and he's three lectures behind.
You know what I realized I did, Jeff? He's what? He's three
behind. Good. Three lectures behind.
Love that. So,
come on, that was good.
Right?
That was good. That was
you know good. What I, you know what I realized I did? Is I picked James Madison this morning, but I already picked Duke to get to the Final Four. So I essentially pulled a Doster the last 2 years.
Yes.
So don't say that the Field of 68 isn't rubbing off on me.
You covered your ass.
Yeah, covered my own ass right there. Here's James Madison looked big against Wisconsin. And then they were out there on the floor against Duke, and they didn't look all that big anymore. That's the big thing whenever – you kind of forget that Filipowski's 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
You kind of forget that Jared McCain's a big dude. Like – there's a lot of size on the floor for Duke. There's a lot of shot making. And that team offensively, if they get rolling, they're going to have to show some toughness in this next round against Houston. But they have enough shooting and they have enough shot making to beat that team. And that's what could carry it through. But this was an ass whooping through and through. Hell of a season for JMU. Congratulations on a great season for those guys. Matt Buckland, I worked with at Clemson whenever he was the Dobo there before he got that JMU job. I'm really happy for those guys, but they went back home with their tail between their legs today.
Yeah, anytime, you know, I started watching the game. I took James Madison. I bought up too. I got him at 9.5. I started watching the game. I saw the size and physicality discrepancy really early on, and I was like, oh, no. Filipowski was doing what he wanted, and when Kyle Filipowski was doing whatever he wants down low, without finessing, this will be a long day for you. And McCain shooting the ball like that, it almost just took the wind out of their sails. It just took the wind out of their sails. They were down 10, 11 points, and Terrence Edwards got two fouls in like a minute and a half.
Yeah, and you could just see they said, uh-oh, we're in trouble.
Yep.
And credit to Duke, man. We've said it before. Picked them to go to the Final Four. The metrics add up for them to be in the Final Four team, potential championship team, and they showed that today.
Yeah. Goodman, let me ask you this. Duke, Houston, let's spin this forward a little bit.
Can I just say one thing before we spin it? I know you guys didn't get much sleep last night. I was the one who got a good night's sleep. You probably don't remember, but I said that Duke was going to beat the piss out of James Madison this morning, and they did. Like, yeah. The dream was over. Duke is really good, boys.
Yes.
Duke's really good.
So, Duke, Houston, is there –
I mean, yes. Yes. Is there absolutely? There.
Yeah. We've talked about it all year long, like toughness.
Yes.
Do they have dogs? Yes. This, that, and the third.
But I like the fact that what happened when Carolina was questioned in their toughness publicly a couple years ago, they came back. 100. Now again, this isn't the matchup ordinarily you want, but you are getting a Houston team that is banged up right now.
Yeah.
That's wounded. Right now, again, Houston's different. They're a different level of toughness. But I think, again, when your manhood, your toughness is questioned, you step it up. And I think that's what Duke's going to do in this game, because that's all they're going to hear about all week, right? How tough Houston is, how tough they are, how soft Duke is, how they're going to watch. I don't know if they win it, but I think they can. I mean, they can absolutely win this game. Now, again,
they're better than Texas A&M.
Tyrese Proctor has to come to play.
Yes.
Has to. You can't rely on Jared McCain going for 30. And they've got to be really good defensively on the glass.
Yes.
On the glass is
the
key.
Glass.
That's the
I think this is going to be a Ryan Young game. I think it's going to be a Ryan Young game.
I don't
like
that.
I think you don't like it? Why not?
I don't know. I just – if I have to rely on Ryan Young to win me a game, I get a little nervous.
It's Ryan Young against those two bigs down there.
He's good for 8 to 12 minutes. That's barbecue chicken.
I would love to see Ryan Young on my scout.
I don't.
I was playing.
Yeah.
So you did. Mark, Mark, I don't think Mark Mitchell has a shot against them.
You're gonna throw.
I'd rather go Mark Mitchell.
He's 7 foot, 250 pounds.
He's not 7 feet.
He's 7 foot, 250 pounds, and he's got no neck, so he's probably actually taller than that.
And matchup wise, Filipowski the perimeter bringing Houston's big rim protector rebounder out there. That could be something to look at too.
Fair enough.
Now go to the film.
Fair enough. Fair enough. We know how much Sean Henson grinds the film.
He does.
As long as he don't fall asleep when the tape's on.
Right.
Marquette, Colorado. With Tyler Kolek back, it looks like Marquette is humming offensively. But at the same time, they were down 10 in the first half against Western Kentucky. They go up against a Colorado team that disappointed all year long, went down to the final possession. T.O., where are we at on Marquette? Where are we at on their chances to make a run? Because when you watch them, they look – like a Final Four team, right? They look like a they have a – it's the eye test, right? But then when you look at what the results are and the performances, maybe it's not necessarily quite as good at the same level.
You know what? I think the first game was them reacclimating to having Tyler Kohler back. This game had more to do with Colorado just is really good. Yeah. With so much talent on the floor, they're going to give people problems. Tyler Kohler – what'd he go with, 21-11 today? That dude is such an elite point guard at the college level, like unreal. He's going to have plenty of time to figure it out. I think he'll get a shot, but potentially more than one. So those guys offensively, and Oso Igodoro, and Oso Igodoro. It is.
No, you're good, man.
Go Cougs.
Heck of a win.
Yeah.
Heck of a toughness win.
There you go.
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
But Oso Igodoro, how physical he needed to be today against Eddie Lampkin. He held his own there. I thought that was promising because I was worried about that because Eddie Lampkin's a load now. Now he's going to have to guard DJ Burns, much more skilled, about the same size. Mm-hmm. I'm curious how it's going to work, but I think Marquette's speed against NC State is going to give them problems. But it's really cool to see NC State in the Sweet 16. How many ACC teams are in the Sweet 16?
As my good man Jeff Goodman tweeted, 25%.
25% of the Sweet 16.
It just goes to show you that the ACC is really good. Let me just go ahead and finish that sentence for you. That the ACC was as good as we've been talking about all season long. And I remember a bold prediction show once upon a time in October where we had to come up with a couple things. John Fanta knocked out the Nebraska to the tournament pick. You know what old T.O. knocked out? ACC is the second best league in college basketball. And you know what? I might have misspoken. More teams than any other conference in the Sweet 16. Cuatro to all my Spanish-speaking friends out there. And I've had a couple Spanish-speaking friends. They've been talking shit to me on Twitter. Four ACC teams. There you go. Sorry, you were saying.
I was so enamored with your monologue.
It's your show now, T.O.
I think we need G.J. Horn to play well, but he's going to have a load on his hands. But they usually put Jaden Daniels, I believe, on the best perimeter offensive player. So I like that for NC State. But the Burns, I think they're going to attack him defensively.
Of course.
I think that's going to be the issue for NC State.
It's going to be a really hard
game
for him.
They're going to put him in a blender. And I got Marquette going to the Final Four. My Final Four is still alive, so I like what I see from him.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know what I think of Kolek. Like, there's no better offensive point guard out there. It's not even close.
No.
Offensively. Not even close what he can do. You know, he can take over a game. He can score when he needs to. But he just sets dudes up in a way that Henson, I think if you played with Kolek, I think you might have.
You played with Kendall.
So, but, like, what does that mean? You did. You played with a pass-first point guard.
My points per game, every stat, offensive stat that I was involved in when he started at starting position, it went up. My points per game, my field goal percentage, everything. So
like, what is it like playing as a big, playing as a big like Oso does? Like, how much easier? Why? Like, Kolek, to me, I watch him, and I'm like, it's a video game out here sometimes.
He's a little more offensively gifted than Kendall Marshall was.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would say that would be even better for me because they were kind of know Kendall wanted to pass.
Yeah.
Kolek, you can't take your eye off of. You can't let a second go by. He's going to find someone. Like, I think down the stretch we're watching the game, the announcer said he makes the best – he makes a great play every time for his team or for himself. So
the angles he gets in the lane,
passes.
Too.
Yeah,
like, he can do so much in the lane. Kendall was more advanced. Yeah.
He gets in the lane, he does the Nash.
Right.
He kind of dribbled around.
Yeah.
Probe.
When he did the probe. Yeah. He did the look away. Then he did the floater, which kind of sealed that game up.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a pro, man. He looks good.
Yeah, I agree. A lot more to get to, including another Big East team. Rolled Northwestern.
Sure
San
did.
Diego State rolled Yale. We're going to head to the East region next. UConn plays San Diego State. Illinois plays Iowa State. Can anyone in that region take down UConn? You'll find out coming up next.
There's nothing better in sports than tournament time, which is why I need to tell you guys about our partners over at Rhythm. If you're into sports betting, you need Rhythm, the place for data-backed props and picks. For those that are unfamiliar, Rhythm, spelled R-I-T-H-M-M, is the go-to mobile app for player props and game picks. Backed by AI predictive models, Rhythm helps you make smarter and faster betting decisions across all sports, but particularly college basketball. With Rhythm, you get data-backed picks for every single Division I game every single day. Users get free picks daily with the ability to upgrade to unlimited access. If you want to increase your edge and win more bets, go to the link in the description and download Rhythm today. That's R-I-T-H-M-M, the place for data-backed props and picks. And while we're here, let me tell you about our newest partner for the month of March, Splash Sports, the home of certified community competition, where you get to play against your friends and not the house. Whatever game it is that you are playing, from Survivors to Tears to Pick X, the safest way to play for real money without the hassle of having to track down deposits or worry about payments is through Splash. They have partnered with PaySafe, the best deposit and payment system in the world, to ensure that money stays in safe hands and is delivered to the right places. To join the Field of 68 Survivor Madness, click the link in our profile below and join in. Entries are $5 a pop with a prize pool of up to $4,500. Winner take all. Join Splash and come prove that you're smarter than us.
Welcome back to the Field of 68 After Dark. It is Sunday night. The Sweet 16 is set. I have Jeff Goodman. I have John Henson. I have Terrence Oglesby. My name is Rob Doster. We are live from Mandalay Bay Sportsbook here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's head to the East region. UConn.
Let's do that.
UConn beats Northwestern by, I believe the final score ended up being 17 points, right? 75-58. Tristan Newton had 20 points, 10 assists. Donovan Klingon had 14 points, 14 rebounds, 8 blocks. Jeff, can anybody in this region knock off UConn? Is there like-
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be San Diego State, but I think in the Elite Eight, you know, to me, Illinois would scare me. Illinois would scare me because what's the one thing that you're worried about if you're UConn? What's the one thing? Big wings. Big wings who can get to the basket. They got two of them. They got two and a stretch big, right? Like, I'm not saying they beat them, but I'm saying, like, that's not the type of team that if I'm Dan Hurley and UConn, I want to see. Terrence Shannon, like, good luck. Good luck, Steph Castle.
Shannon's not the one that I'm worried about there. Like, he's going to kind of get his he's going to get his. He's going to go.
Our
for like
producer, Trevor Valise, is absolutely mocking Rob Doster right now.
Terrence Shannon is going to get his 30. It's like Zach Edey. You know he's going to get 25 and 14. Yeah. So, like, he's going to get his. You try to make it as hard on him as you can. I think Steph Castle's the matchup you want with size and athleticism, right? Where I get worried is people that can attack the four, right? It's Alex Caravan is the guy that you
worry
about.
Man, you're digging deep, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to dig deep. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, but that matchup with Alex Caravan, whoever he's guarding, that's what teams attack. I'm worried about them finding a way to get Klingon in foul trouble, right? Dane Danger can do that, right? You get Klingon in foul trouble. You force Samson Johnson to have to play 25 minutes. That's how you're able to beat him because you can beat him up on the play, beat him up in the paint if that happens. I'm worried about, you mentioned Coleman Hawkins spacing out the floor. That's going to be difficult for them to deal with. And then it's Marcus Domask and any of the guards when you have Cam Spencer and Tristan Newton guarding them. Like, they're just not great individual defenders. And what Illinois does, we talked about it last night, they try to isolate you. They try to play one-on-one. And I don't know
they
if that's
simplify.
Necessarily the strength of the UConn defense. Now, that said, Illinois is going to have to stop them too. Okay.
Yep.
And the one thing we've seen with Illinois is they're not the most connected team defensively.
Yep.
And with all of the stuff that UConn runs, how many contested shots would UConn get if those two teams played?
I was going to say, I think it's going to take a much better connected team to beat UConn. I think in the times of adversity, when Illinois gets punched in the mouth, which they will this weekend, whether it be first game or the next game, I don't think that they've been in a situation like that to respond and say we've been, you know, T.O., we've been here before. They can't say that yet.
Yeah.
So UConn can. And I got to win in the whole thing. I love the way they look. I love the way they play. They play together. They play to win.
I'm the same way. I'm not saying Illinois is going to win.
Yeah,
but no, I'm saying that matchup will be
– it would be great.
Could be really good.
What do you think about Iowa State? Do you think they would have a chance? Because no.
I no. don't. I don't. No. I just think, again, like – Iowa State, to me, doesn't have that high-end talent, those electric guards. Mm-hmm. I think you need some dudes who can go make a play. That's not what Lipsy is.
Yep.
That's not what Milan – like, they just don't really have that. Like, their upside – I mean, again, they're going to make it tough for UConn. They're going to make it tough for them to score, but I think UConn has so much more talent. You know, to me, Illinois-UConn, that's the matchup I want to see.
Yeah. I will say this, though. I think it's going to be tougher for Illinois against Iowa State than people are expecting.
Sure. No, I agree with that.
Of how big and physical those
That's going to be a great game.
Like,
great
does,
game.
Does Illinois –
Terrence Shannon and Trevor Lipsy.
Trevor's going to chime in on whatever I say here. But
I hope he cackles
does Illinois, can they win a game when a team's going to try to do what Iowa State does to you? Where they get physical, they climb up in you, they don't let you go anywhere. They're going to push you, they're going to shove you, they're going to chuck cutters, they're going to throw elbows. They're going to play mean. Right? Can Illinois win a game that way?
Yeah, especially if they're going to extend out their pressure. That's just opening up the floor more for Terrence Shannon. That's kind of the thing that scares me more than anything. You're playing right into his hands if you extend that pressure out to half court. Because if you do that, you're just opening it up a runway because you can try to stay in front of him. Yeah, that's all well and good. I'm not sure many people can. Terrence Shannon's playing awesome right now.
I'm not sure anybody can.
Yeah,
in college basketball, I don't think there's one guy – who can slow down Terrence Shannon right now? Not one.
Yeah. That's exactly – like, right. You do what you can to make it as hard as possible.
Right.
You just accept the fact he's going to get his 26, and you try to make it difficult for everyone else.
Yeah.
And I think also Illinois, they're due for some a little regression. They've been playing a little too good. Mm-hmm. Just have.
Yeah.
They still got that old – Illinois is in them. We just ain't seen it yet.
All right.
Still in them.
So I do want to.
There's the quote. There's the bulletin board material right now comes from John Henson to the Illini right
still,
there.
They still got that Illinois in them.
Yep.
Still got that Illinois.
All right. Let me ask you guys this about San Diego State, because they're coming off a run to the national title game. They didn't win the Mountain West regular season. They didn't win the Mountain West tournament, and they are now back in the Sweet 16. They only beat a 12 seed and 13 seed. You can only beat who's in front of you.
Right.
And they get another shot at UConn. Everyone is going to talk about UConn, the Elite Eight matchup, Illinois, Final Four. Everyone's going to overlook this matchup with San Diego State. There's no chance that Dan Hurley does, that friggin' maniac. But
yeah, Danny said, the NCAA, they tried to make it as hard as possible for us after they beat the brakes off their round one opponent and absolutely thump Northwestern. Yes. Try to make it hard on us.
Yeah. San Diego State, they got a chance, Henson.
Yeah. In the words of Jeff Goodman, yeah, they got a chance. They got a chance. But I don't think matchup-wise, I think it's going to be another runaway. So it'll be interesting to see kind of where that line is, per se. But I don't think UConn's rolling right now.
Jaden Ledee will have to have a 35-15 game for them.
But the rest of the team is overmatched.
They are. Yeah. Completely overmatched. They play the same way UConn does. UConn just has more of everything.
Yeah.
That's the issue. And you know, it didn't happen today, obviously, because let's be honest, this Yale matchup was just a nightmare for Yale. They take you out of everything. They beat you up everywhere. You can't cut without a body just banging into you. So that makes it tough.
So that's why I think I'm going to be very curious to see where this line opens up. I'm guessing it'll probably be about 9.5 or so.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be closer than people think because of exactly what you just said. San Diego State takes you out of what you want to do. And the way to beat UConn and get stops, take them out of what they want to do, right? Force them to have to try to play one-on-one to win. We saw Creighton do it by going over, emphatically going over every screen, funneling everybody to Kalkbrenner. We saw Kansas do it by switching everything.
Yeah.
San Diego State's going to be able to do it. A lot of people have tried to do it. Doesn't really work all that well unless you don't have the personnel. Jeff, I think that they might have the personnel.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I just don't see San Diego State having a chance here. Like, they're going to slow it down. They're going to muck it up. But eventually, UConn's going to run away from it.
Yeah, they're going to have 9 to 12-point runs, and it's just going to be done.
Right.
And,
I mean,
and San Diego State
can't score.
Yeah,
like, they're going to go through those.
Behind. Right. They can't play. Right. Sorry to interrupt you, but they can't play from behind.
Yeah. Like, Jaden Ledee's awesome. Yeah. But it's almost like looking sometimes at a one-man show out there, you know. So UConn's got so many dudes. They can have a guy have an off night. And I don't think UConn has anybody that can match up with Ledee. I really don't. Like, he's going to be able to get what he wants. Who?
I mean, they're going to put Klingon on him.
Yeah, good luck.
He's not going to get anything around the basket.
Sure, he won't need to. He won't need to. He can shoot from 12, 15 feet. He has that friggin' –
He looks
line
like
drive
he looks
shot.
Like Tarzan.
Try shooting a line drive over a dude with a 7'3 wingspan.
Yeah.
That'll
actually be interesting.
Klingon's going to be playing 8 feet
grab
off
it.
Him, and he's going to be able to block the shot. That's going to end up happening. It's impossible to goaltend Jaden Ledee because it's just a line drive.
The ball never goes over the rim. Basically, it literally.
It just crawls over at the last second.
All right, let's head to the West region.
Yeah.
All right. We have Alabama taking on North Carolina. And we have, out of nowhere, totally unexpected, the second biggest Cinderella in the NCAA tournament today, your mid-major Clemson Tigers.
So two out of the four in that region, what conference were they from?
The ACC.
They were from the ACC.
I hope they play.
Well, actually, I really don't want them to play each other.
When you go through a rigorous conference all year, you're ready for this competition come tournament time. That's just what happens at this point. What are we talking about?
Go ahead. Clemson won. They beat Baylor. Go.
No.
Go. Clear, hey,
look.
ISO, clear out.
No.
What is it? Thumbs up, right? Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. It's get the out of the way is what it was when I was in Europe.
When T.O. saw that. Oh, man.
Yeah, thumbs up. Just go
started
ahead.
Started salivating.
That's it. I thought Clemson today against Baylor, they did exactly what they needed to do. They played extremely physical. Through the first part of the game, they really did a good job defensively on Baylor. And this is a Baylor team that can really score. I had several people text me like, they're the fifth best offense in college basketball. And Clemson took them out of everything. And they contested at a high level. Kept them at one shot. And Clemson was able to score just enough in that first half to give them some cushion to where you knew Ray J. Dennis and those guys were going to be able to make a run in the second half. P.J. Hall, I think I wanted to kill him a couple of times in the last.
He's got to be smarter.
He's got to stay in the freaking game. P.J.'s got to stay in the game. But, hey, look, Chase Hunter had a mediocre January. He has come on strong in this NCAA tournament. He continues to play well. I'm telling you, I'm not mad at some of these matchups between them and Arizona.
Chase Hunter was so fired up after the game in his post-game interview. Did you hear it?
I heard it.
He was like, yeah, we got this win. Everybody doubted us. I'm covered in blood. Let's go.
I got blood all over me.
I got blood all over me.
We're here. We got the win. I'm out.
Yes, go ahead, man.
And by the way, I text Brad after the game. And I was like, you're a better man than me. Because Rothstein earlier this season in January said, the ACC looks like a two-bid league. I would have looked at him, not bad for a two-bid league, huh, big guy?
I mean, I think part of it came
what
down.
What Rothstein does, but, like, two-bid league's crazy.
I think part of it comes down to experience at the end.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Because if you looked at it, who made their free throws down the stretch and who didn't? Jacoby Walter did not make his free throws. Freshman.
Shocking, actually.
Talented. But, again, you're a freshman. Yeah. You're a freshman.
That moment is season on the line.
Right.
Also, you're about to be a multimillionaire in 3 months.
P.J. Hall made his, right?
Joe Girard hit his. R.J. Godfrey hit his, and he's a 55%
free. These dudes are older.
Ryan Elvin hit his.
How to play. Ryan Elvin.
And I'll tell you what, that one shot, the M1 from Shifflin, how great was that?
Oh, it was awesome.
That was incredible.
They're
a good team. Again, they went through their lull in the middle of the year there when people started to build them up, and I feel like they kind of got their mojo back towards the end of the year.
Chase Hunter.
He's the key. He's the key because
Clark got healthy.
Yeah, they didn't have him for the longest time.
So we got Clemson and Arizona here. How's that matchup?
The more I think about it, the more I'm not really mad at it. Omar Ballo and P.J. Hall, P.J.'s going to be able to pull him out because he shot the ball well this year. The four position, you want to talk about two junkyard dogs between Ian Shefflin and Keyshawn Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's two hard-playing dudes. Chase Hunter, whoever they match him up with, whoever's playing the three position, they Jack Clark against Pelle Larsen. Like, man for man, I'm not mad at the matchup.
Gerard's seen a lot of Caleb Love.
He has. Man for man, I'm not mad at the matchup. Clemson's going to have to play slow. They're going to have to play slow to win that one. But, the more I look at that matchup, the more I'm not all that dejected that it's Arizona. It's big, bad Arizona. That's all well and good. But Clemson matches up man
Arizona
for man.
Arizona let you down, too.
Huh?
Arizona will. I mean, there's been times this year where you looked at the score like, what happened?
Yeah.
So they're capable of winning that game.
It'd be awful.
A long time since a Pac-12 team won a national title, boys.
Yep.
A long, long time.
Yeah. It'd be awful if North Carolina and Clemson had to play in the Elite Eight, too.
It'd be terrible. We haven't mentioned this yet. And I think it needs to be brought up. Clemson, Arizona, a little alumni battle right here.
North Carolina.
I think a wager needs to
be
made.
I'm not losing another bet where I got to wear something.
A wager needs to be made here of some sort. We'll figure it out. To find out what that wager is going to be, make sure you come back after the break. We'll be talking a little bit about Alabama and North Carolina and what should end up being a game that has 800 points scored in it. That's next.
By now, you guys have surely heard about Autograph, an app founded by Tom Brady with the intention of disrupting the way that fans consume content covering their favorite teams. This is how the app works. All of the podcasters, bloggers, and digital creators covering a team have their content sent to that team's page in the Autograph app. Instead of having to bounce from site to site or trying to navigate the safer workspaces on Twitter, you can just scroll through Autograph. This isn't a hard sell. This is the truth. I am a UConn fan, and I use the Autograph app to keep up with the writers I read and the pods that I listen to about UConn basketball. The best part is that every piece of content that you consume gives you reward points. The more you get, the more chances you have at things like discounted tickets to games and the grand prize, a trip to the LA Regional and a spot in a suite for the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games. Here's the best part. We've partnered with Autograph to donate $1 to the V Foundation every time someone downloads the app using the code F68, with a minimum of $2,500 getting donated. The app is free. So download, use the code F68, help us raise a little bit of money for cancer research, and give Autograph a try. I promise you it will be worth it. And while we're here, a quick reminder, make sure that you subscribe to The Daily. We have new landing pages with deep dives into each coaching change, as well as a tracker that provides scouting reports on the transfers that have entered the portal that you are going to want to know about. Hit the link below to subscribe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today.
Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to this Sunday evening edition of Field of 68 After Dark. Jeff Goodman, John Henson, Terrence Oglesby. I'm Rob Doster. Alabama survives Grand Canyon in one of the ugliest, craziest, drunkest basketball games I've ever watched in my entire life. Alabama gets it done. They make it to the Sweet 16. They got North Carolina next. North Carolina rolled Michigan State yesterday. Henson, how do you feel about this matchup? How do you feel about your Tar Heels? How do you feel about watching a game where we're going to have 135 points scored by each team?
First of all, the Grand Canyon Alabama game, I thought I was like in an AAU, like watching the AAU game back in like 2012, 9 o'clock on Sunday. Like, it was just a lot going on. But as far as North Carolina versus Alabama, it worries me only because I think Alabama keeps it close by their style of play just because of the back-and-forth nature of it. And so I think North Carolina may have to slow the tempo just a tad and not get in the back-and-forth because, I mean, you saw it today. It went from a 3-point Grand Canyon lead to a 10-point Alabama lead in like a minute and a half. So that worries me a little bit, but I think North Carolina does prevail. RJ versus Sears. I think Armando, they're going to give the ball to him, get him going as well. Ingram, I don't know if they have any of the guys to kind of match. You know, I think North Carolina rolls. I think it's going to be a good matchup for them.
Yeah, I think North Carolina wins too because I think they're going to be able to play a cleaner game offensively. I know that sounds crazy, as good as Alabama's offense is, but I think because Alabama's defense isn't that good, there's not going to be as many mistakes. Alabama just doesn't guard as well. And today, you know, that Grand Canyon game, like you said, was on drugs. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. Not a whole lot of high IQ play, that's for sure. It was like people were fouling 40 feet away from the bucket. They were up two. They fouled to put Grand Canyon on the line just because. And then it was like a couple of other things, just driving into six people, throwing it up. That wasn't good. And then they're turning the ball over in the backcourt. Alabama, you can't do that. You cannot do that against North Carolina if you stand a chance. And to be honest with you guys, North Carolina's defense has been so good this season. It's been shocking, and they're doing it in such a different way than when John played. Like, it's – I don't think that Alabama's going to be able to play as clean an offensive game as they would need to in order to beat North Carolina.
Why can nobody stop Mark Sears? Why can nobody stop this guy? I feel like it shouldn't be this difficult to beat Alabama. Yet, Mark, you know what you need to do, right? But nobody can do it.
I have two theories on that. One is people just bounce off his shoulders. Like, he's strong. So good. He does the – it's like the Jalen Brunson thing where he gets his shoulder into you and kind of – he's able to push off and create space because he's just so damn strong, right? And then he's also – like, his step-back jumpers, like he just – he creates, like, 8 feet of space. And there's – like, it doesn't matter how tall you are. There's just nothing you can do when he –
And in person we saw him, and he's got, like, a burst to him that you don't see really on TV that he's able to get by guys.
Yeah, it's the
but,
same.
But still, I just feel like it shouldn't be that hard because he's number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 on the scout. Right? Like, you stop him.
Well, he also has the neon green light. I think that is also something – he plays with so much confidence, and I mean, Alabama was the pocket pass where he caught, or the lob, he caught it in the air and kicked it to the corner. Like, they have a high-level offense, man, so they're fun to watch. And Sears kind of just plays off that, and, you know, with the shooting and everything they have going on, it kind of spaces out the defense a little more, and that helps him get in there and do his thing.
Well, let's be honest. Like, he has to create for his teammates because – you know, they got the Nelson kid who can't really do it on his own at this level. Aaron Estrada hasn't been a playmaking guard that they thought he might be able to
That's
be.
That's what I'm saying. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is amazing when you look at it.
Everything. He has done everything.
Yep. All right. Let's talk some big picture stuff here with this Sweet 16. Here's what I want to start with, Jeff. The best matchup in the Sweet 16 is
Creighton, Tennessee. Like, gotta be, in my opinion. Gotta be, right? Like,
yep.
Dalton Connect against Creighton in their high-powered offense, right? Two teams that really have a chance to go to the Final Four, and they're fun to watch.
Yep.
Like, I'm finally a believer in Tennessee. I'm finally a believer again in Creighton. Like, yep. I can't wait to see that game. That, to me, is the game that you circle.
I'm going to go Duke Houston. Got the old guard, the blue blood, versus the new defense, you know, the number one graded team, right, metrically this season. So this is going to be a tough test for Duke, but I can't wait to watch that matchup and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Go ahead. I think – was it Illinois and Iowa State, the best defense in the country since January 1, the best offense in the country in Illinois since January 1, clashing of styles. That's going to be fun to watch. I just because you guys picked those other two really good ones, I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah, there's every single matchup in this Sweet 16 is really good. I'm going to go with North Carolina, Alabama, just because you're going to get this. You're going to get this. It's going to be fun. There's going to be points. There's going to be R.J. Davis cooking. Mark Sears cooking. It's got that one. That's the matchup to me that's going to be the most appealing on the eyes. All right. The Elite Eight matchup that you want to see the most is going to be?
I think UConn-Illinois is one that I would like to see. That's probably where I would go, UConn-Illinois.
Yep. Henson and I agree on this because we've been talking about it all week. For literally 4 days, what have we been talking about?
You want to see Arizona.
Right?
That'll be fun. I mean, it's gonna be fun. Like, is RJ gonna guard?
No, no. What's the pregame gonna be between RJ and Caleb and all those guys? Big hugs?
Yeah,
big
for hugs. Sure. It's all love.
I mean, all love.
It's all love.
It right? always is in Chapel
it's,
Hill.
It's all love, man.
Right?
We love Caleb. I love Caleb. I mean, you have two player of the year. Yeah, two players of the year in the backcourt, which is insane.
Yeah.
And all the stuff around him, man. It'll just be a fun game. It'll be an intense game. And both teams are really going to want to win that game for their respective teammates. So it's going to be good.
I want to see Creighton-Purdue. I think that is the best chance that anybody in that region has to stop Zach Edey and Purdue is Ryan Kalkbrenner. It is those guards funneling everybody into the paint. It is trying to blow up what Purdue wants to run, where Creighton is able to run all of their stuff and make it work. Give me your updated Final Four and national title picks. I'll go first since I think I'm the only one that has to make some changes here. Thanks a
multiple.
Thanks a lot, John Calipari.
I got one change.
I got UConn making it to the Final Four. I'm still going to go with I had Arizona making it to the Final Four. I'm changing that. North Carolina. North Carolina is going to get there. I'm a believer in North Carolina. I had them losing to Mississippi State. Since that didn't happen, I've been proven wrong. Tar Heels get to the Final Four. I'm sticking with Creighton making it to the Final Four. That's what I had in my bracket initially, and I think they're going to get there. And then I'm going to go with Duke. I'm going to say Duke gets it done. I'm a believer now. I've completely flip-flopped on this bandwagon. I'm all the way aboard the ACC hype train. Got two ACC schools, two Big East schools in the Final Four. UConn, Duke playing for a national championship, and UConn gets it and gets the job done.
I'm going to say with what I had at the beginning, I'm going Purdue, UConn, Duke, and Arizona, and it's just because I'm too stubborn to change it, even though Clemson's playing Arizona. So I'm going to stick with them, and then I have UConn and Purdue in the finals. UConn's going to cut down the nets again.
I got still rocking UConn, Arizona, Marquette, Tennessee. UConn, Tennessee, UConn winning. I got some flack for taking Arizona over, UNC. I got a couple texts. But at the end of the day, I just feel like Arizona, when it comes down the line, I think Arizona could probably knock them off.
I got UConn still, Carolina, Tennessee. I had Kentucky. I'm going to switch them. I'm going to put Marquette in there. I'm going to put Marquette in there because I think they got the easiest Sweet 16 matchup. I think Houston and Duke are going to beat the crap out of each other. And even if Houston wins, I don't know how many dudes are going to have left on the floor at the end of it. And I got Carolina still winning the whole thing, Henson. I'm a believer in you are a skeptic of your Tar Heels.
It's a method to my madness. Hey, of Henson, course I think they're going to win. But you know what?
Henson, we've seen North Carolina and UConn play this year. Do you remember what happened? Do you remember what happened when they played this year? I don't know, North Carolina.
I don't think in the past.
Fair enough. All right.
We look ahead to the future.
Yeah. All right. Toast of the night before we get out of here. Goodman, toast of the night.
I don't even remember what happened today. So
there's an obvious one.
My mind is fried. But
yeah, Ryan Elvin. Ryan Elvin, walk on, steps on the court, knocks down a free throw, helps make sure it's not a one-possession game anymore, goes and plays some defense. Houston has four guys foul out. They still find a way to beat Texas A&M in advance. Jeff.
You guys go first.
I go Tyler Kulik, 21-11, in a game where he's finally comfortable and getting busy.
Yes.
He's been the story all year. He's going to continue to be the story.
Henson?
I guess I'm going to toast the first half, Zach Eady.
First half, Zach Eady.
That's my toast of the night.
I got a good one. I got a really good one. Brad Brunell. How do you not toast Brad Brunell? Sweet 16. Give the man. Last time he got it, Sweet 16.
Got an extension.
Yep. Listen, this has been the Field of 68 After Dark Sunday night. Jeff and I got to get out of here. We got to go catch a flight. We will see you guys again tomorrow, 11 p.m.
Field of 68 PJ.
Normal time. Field of 68 from home.
Yeah.
This has been After Dark. See you guys tomorrow.